Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like that. Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Wednesday, so let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing well, Arash. We are going to get more basketball within the next week, which is a good thing. So That's a win for basketball fans.
I agree with you. I think if you did not have a dog in the race, if you were not a Mavericks fan, you had to be rooting for the Minnesota Timberwolves to extend that series last night, and they do. We will have a game five. That was important because the NBA final schedule was set regardless, so we would have had a situation where we would have had 9 days in between the end of the conference finals and the beginning of the finals, but at the very least, we have a game five. It's in Minnesota. You got to imagine that they're going to play well, a sold out crowd, maybe again, push it to 6 maybe, and we'll see what happens. Again, no team in NBA history has ever come back from 3-0 down. We have seen a handful of times, even begin, like you just go back to last season, we did have a game 7. So we'll see how long this series goes. It is interesting. Let's get into a real quick big, but I do want to get into some fun coaching stories here. Was there anything in the game last night with Minnesota winning? Again, it was a back and forth game, very close game. The Mavericks could have easily won at home and closed out that series and swept Minnesota. They did not. But did you see something in that series as it shifts over to Minnesota now for game five that gives you hope that either Minnesota can win or do what the Celtics did a year ago and force a game 7?
Yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards outplayed Kyrie and Luka. That was the biggest thing. And coming into the series, I thought that that would be the main story, right? Because we saw Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards dismantle the Nuggets and all the 4 wins that they won in that series. And coming into this one, I thought that they could have a chance to outplay them in a majority of these games, and they just haven't so far. And in game four, it was a complete reversal of what we saw in the first three games. The Timberwolves locked in defensively. They showed some of that defensive prowess that we saw against Denver in the previous series. Anthony Edwards had one of his better games of the series, probably his best game of the series, his best game probably since game five or six of the last series. And he just took over down the stretch. Karl-Anthony Towns in the first half, it looked like he was going to have another one of his bad games and continue that stretch that he's had been having throughout the course of the series. And in the second half, Arash, he went 7 of 10 from the field. He had 20 points. And he really led that team to a victory. And I got to give a lot of credit to both him and not just him, Rudy Gobert as well. Rudy Gobert played some great defense. He had a lot of clutch free throws down the stretch in the fourth quarter in the second half. He was a big presence down low. I mean, he kind of thwarted a lot of the things that the Mavericks were trying to do in the paint. And while the Mavericks did hang in there for basically the entirety of the game, it just felt like the Wolves had more intensity. They wanted it more. Obviously, when you're down 3-0, you have a lot more incentive to go out and win a game. They just played more team basketball. This is the Wolves team that I think everyone was expecting to come out and play in the series, and we finally got it in Game 4. Now it shifts back to Minnesota. Now, I'm not saying that Minnesota is going to come back from 3-0, but it's a lot easier to come back from 3-1 now than it is 3-0, and that's the biggest thing. So, you know, whenever the series shifts back to the other team's home crowd, and for Dallas, it's such a dagger, right? Because you're right there. You could have closed it on your home floor, got a bunch of rest. I'm sure a lot of guys were thinking that before the game, like, hey, let's wrap this up now so we can do it in front of our home crowd. We can get to the finals. We can have all this time to rest. And now your narrative shifts, your mindset shifts. You now have to travel all the way to Minnesota. You have to play another game, and it's not in front of your home crowd. It's in front of a crowd that I know will be rocking. This could be one of the last games that Minnesota plays at home, so you know they're going to be loud. And it just takes a lot out of you because you think, oh, like, we were right there. We were so close to closing this one out, and now you got to go all the way to Minnesota and play a team that now looks hungry. They look like they have a chance here to push it to six, and if it gets to six, I mean, anything can happen. We saw what happened with the Heat and the Celtics, right? The Celtics pushed it to 7, and unfortunately, Jason Tatum got hurt. Well, fortunately for LA fans, but no, unfortunately for this,
get hurt. But I feel you.
Unfortunately, Jason Tatum got hurt, and he sprained his ankle, and in that game 7, they end up losing. But they pushed it to 7, so it's not out of the realm that they can push it to 6 or 7. But if you're the Mavericks, you got to just get back to your roots, right? If Kyrie and Luka, Kyrie had a really bad game. I think he had, I don't know his exact stats, but he had terrible efficiency. He was turning the ball over. And when he has games like that, I don't give the Mavericks a big chance. So I expect them to bounce back in game five. But man, if the Wolves get game five, Arash, like, we could be having a series here. And there's a lot of people talking about history right now. Like, wow, look at what the script writers are doing. Yeah. Look at what Adam Silver's setting up. I'm just like, come on, let's take it one game at a time. Because the Mavericks are still in full control of this series.
Yeah, I mean, if a team were to come back from 3-0 down, I think it would make sense for them to really have what the Timberwolves have in this way. They are the top seed. They do have home court advantage. And what does that mean? Well, they need to win three straight now, and two of the next three are in Minnesota. So this, you know, this do or die game, and there's that scene in the Yankees Red Sox documentary where the Yankees have a 3-0 series against the Red Sox. And Kevin Millar, I think, is saying, don't let us win today, because if you do, we got game five. You know, and then you got game six, and then anything can happen in game seven. And so, I mean, by the way, to your point, if Jason Tatum doesn't go down, I mean, when you come back from 3-0 down and you force a game seven on your home court, I think every Boston fan who had seen this play out with the Yankees and the Red Sox thought for sure they were going to be the first NBA team to ever do this. If Tatum doesn't go down, they probably do. But again, when you lose your best player, you know, in the first quarter, not a whole lot that you can do. But again, we have a long way to go. I do think the Timberwolves now win game five on their home court. So now it's 3-2. And basically, it's just, you know, and by the way, as you know this, Grant, Minnesota has been an amazing road team. In fact, they've been a better road team than they have been a home team. So the fact that, two of the next three games are in Minnesota and the one game that's going to be on the road, you're talking about a team that went into Denver three times, including game seven, where they were down by 20 points in the second half and found a way to win. So again, we get a long way to go before we see history. But the fact that they won this game, the fact that it was a coin flip, the fact that it was a tie game at the half and a tie game in the fourth quarter, and Minnesota found a way to win, that's all the life you needed to breathe into the Timberwolves for them to say, hey, guys, let's win at home, come back here, win game six, and then let's go back home for game seven. And then, again, unless something crazy happens, like your best player going down in the first quarter, the momentum that you would have following three straight wins like that, it's incredible. And so I think if you're not a Mavericks fan, A, you got to be rooting for this to go seven, just because we don't have basketball one way or the other until the beginning of the finals, which I think is like June 5th or something. So, more basketball, the better. But beyond that, I mean, it'd be fun to see some history, I think. Right, Grant?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think right now it's kind of a dead period because obviously the Celtics swept. And, the hockey playoffs are on, the MLB is in full swing, but, all the attention is focused on the NBA. Obviously, NFL's far and away the number one, viewed sport in America, and it's growing, actually. But, for the NBA, if you can have a series like this, especially with some young stars that are playing right now, I mean, Luka Doncic is young, Anthony Edwards is young. If you get history by a 22-year-old, Arash, Anthony Edwards is 22 and he's doing all this stuff. Like, I know that the Wolves got their first conference finals win in 20 years, but we kind of stray away from the fact that Anthony Edwards is in his fourth year and he's doing stuff like this. And so there are times where he does look young, but if the Wolves can make history here and come back from, even if they are, Arash, even if they push it to six or seven, like, I think that's a huge accomplishment for Minnesota. Like, I think it already is in terms of what they've done this year. Yeah. But if they can even push it to six or seven, like, I would feel real confident about them going into next year, even if they lose.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are all experiences that they can build off and grow from. When you talk about the youth of this team, again, you would rather win in advance and lose in the finals, and that will be your learning process. Again, one of the viral moments, post game, and again, this was after they won game seven, is that, generally teams have to lose before they win, and they joke, we've lost before. It's different though. When you lose in the conference finals, when you lose in the NBA finals, there's something different about that. You go back to Kobe's career and his progression, and it was the air balls he had in the conference finals against the Utah Jazz. It's different when you lose in the first round, or like even round two, that's one thing. But when you lose in the conference finals and you get embarrassed, you learn from that. And so regardless, it's a great point that you make. Whether their season comes to an end in games five, six, or seven, I think this run to the conference finals has really allowed this team to grow, and we'll see how they build off that. All right, speaking of conference finals and, building off that, Ty Lue led the Los Angeles Clippers to their first ever conference finals a couple of years ago, 2021, where they didn't have Paul George. They did not have Kawhi, but they had Paul George. We just found out today, this morning, Grant, that, and again, we've been talking about this for a while because there's a lot of teams out there, the Lakers in particular, that would have pounced on Ty Lue if he was available. Again, it didn't seem like that was going to happen. It always seemed like they were going to get a long-term contract extension locked up. Certainly, the Clippers do not want Ty Lue to be going to the Lakers and perhaps winning a championship with LeBron. So they locked up Ty Lue to a long-term deal. No one has their finger on the pulse of Clipper Nation quite like you do. I think this was the right call. When you look at coaches around the league, the amount of change is crazy. You just have to look at the Lakers, the amount of changes that they've made since, 2019 or whatever, from like Luke Walton to Frank Vogel to the Darvin Ham to whoever is their next coach. I mean, the amount of coaches that they've had in 5 years, Ty Lue is brought back, let's just say, a long-term extension. As long as he's winning, or as long as Steve Ballmer is happy, Ty Lue will be the head coach of this team. Your thoughts on Ty Lue being the head coach of the Clippers long-term?
Yeah, it's the right move, just because, you know, look, it's not really his fault that guys have been hurt the past four postseasons. Like, when they did have a fully healthy roster in 2021, they made the conference finals. And I know that Kawhi Leonard wasn't there for a big part of that, but he was there for a good majority of that. And when they were healthy and when they were playing at their best, they went to the conference finals, and they've always had the ability to go to the finals. There's a reason why a lot of people respect Ty Lue as one of the better coaches in the league. Now, there are questions about his rotations and giving guys the right minutes, and obviously that's a big concern. But you can say that about every coach in the NBA. Like, I guarantee you, Arash, like, and I don't have as big of a pulse on the Nuggets fans or on the Heat fans or any of these top coaches in the league, but I guarantee you that in those circles, they are talking about Michael Malone the same way. Yeah. They're talking about Eric Spoelstra the same way. They're like, fans will always want players to get minutes over other players, but like, obviously we don't have a integral pulse on what the coach is thinking. And so, you know, while there are players that should be getting minutes, I don't fault Ty Lue for the failures of this organization, because listen, playoffs in year in and year out, he has actually done a better job than most would do with the roster and the hand that he's been dealt. Like, if you just have one of your stars or two of your four stars, and you're going toe to toe with a team that's one game away from going to the finals right now in the Dallas Mavericks, like, that's a great coaching job. And Ty Lue is one of the best guys out of timeouts. He's one of the best guys at drawing up plays. He is a player's coach, so he has a great rapport with the locker room. He is one of the best player coaches in the NBA. And I guarantee you, if the Clippers didn't sign him to an extension and he was on the open market, everybody, and I mean almost everybody except for maybe the Heat and maybe the Spurs and maybe the Celtics and Nuggets, they would all be lining up to sign him, because we all know that when he has a fully healthy roster and when the roster is great, much like a lot of other great coaches in this league, he can do a great job. So to lock him up, you know, whether it be for the rest of this era, I don't know what this era is going to look like, but for this era, and even if they bring in a younger team, if they blow it up, I still love the fact that he can go in there with a younger team. And I know that he probably signed this extension with the concept that, hey, we're not going to rebuild, we're not going to blow everything up, you're going to have a competitive team to coach, because I don't think he would have signed it otherwise. I feel very confident in his abilities, because look at what happened in 2022. Kawhi and Paul George were out, and they got to the play-in. Yeah. They were the 8 seed. So he can do it with a good roster and basically a mediocre roster. So it is an excellent move by them. I'm glad they got it done now, because there's a lot of rumors swirling about him going to the Lakers. So I think that's why they wanted to do it now, Arash.
Yeah, and listen, and they're going into the new arena with superstar players. And again, we'll see about their health and what Paul George does. Regardless of whether it's Paul George or someone else, I mean, they'll have a star in that role. So they're going into the new arena with established superstar players and an established, in my mind, and I believe yours, a superstar head coach. And that's all you can ask for when you begin a season. Again, we'll see what happens with health and all that stuff. And I know no one's more frustrated than Ty in terms of the health of this team. I mean, it was four straight seasons, and you've covered those press conferences as well. I mean, there's nothing he can do. It's a frustrating thing where, you know, you have a training camp, you have a preseason, you're a top four seed, and then your best player goes down. And so, you know, they're just hoping new arena, new facility, new training center, all that great stuff, you know, can that result in health? Moving to the Lakers head coaching situation, it does seem like they have circled and targeted J.J. Redick to be the next head coach. When you're looking at timelines for this, I would look for them not to make an announcement post-NBA Finals. Why? J.J. is obviously on the call for the NBA Finals. He'll be calling the Finals with Doris Burke and Mike Breen. I think perhaps a handshake agreement that they've made is like, listen, we wish you the best of luck, but, you know, please wait till the Finals is over to do that. The other thing to keep in mind there, some of the assistants that he's looking at are on the Boston Celtics with Sam Cassell, perhaps Jared Dudley with the Dallas Mavericks, perhaps. So on a variety of fronts, I would not expect something to be made official until the Finals are done. That being said, Grant, it does seem like when you look at some of the coaches that they're talking to that are clearly not head coaching candidates, they're more like assistant coaching candidates. It does seem like JJ is going to be the next head coach of the Lakers. But again, timeline wise, I wouldn't look for an announcement to be made until the NBA finals are done.
Yeah, that would be the smart move to do it after the finals. And like, there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, why don't you announce it now and make it official? No, because that will take it. Like, that's just such a distraction, even when he's on, especially now that the Celtics are in the finals. He's going to be a Lakers coach talking about the Celtics. So it makes sense to do it after the finals. Yeah, right. So, and also the fact of the matter is that he has to fill out an assistant coaching staff. And I think from all the rumors, like the guys that you mentioned are perfect fits. Now, I don't know if Sam Cassell is going to want to go from being the top assistant of Boston to the top assistant of the Lakers. You know, that's something you have to prime away from. James Borrego is another guy that's been rumored about being an assistant. I think he's having an interview with the Lakers today for the assistant job. I'm assuming it's for the assistant job. I don't know
exactly, right?
Coaching job, because I really think that JJ has this locked up. I think that he's the one that they're set on. They like the fact that he can connect to Pat Riley, and they like that kind of that arc that the Lakers really want. But in terms of the X's and O's, he's a great X's and O's guy. He was a player, so he can connect to the players on that level. He just retired, 3-4 years ago? So he has a pretty recent knowledge of a lot of these players. And look, he's one of the better minds in media. So if you can get him, and look, like I mentioned in the previous show, there's not many veterans out there, right? You can't go get a veteran guy that's been there and done that. There's really no guys out there, unless you bring in a guy that hasn't coached in like 4 years. So it's the right move to bring in JJ, but I think it's more imperative that they fill out a veteran coaching staff to kind of help JJ. And in that, listen, there's been a lot of times where people are like, well, don't bring in a guy that could take your job. Listen, I think JJ's the guy long term. So I think bringing in a veteran coaching staff to just mentor him, kind of help him with some of the things that he hasn't really had to deal with as a media member or as a player, I think that's imperative. So bringing in guys like Jared Dudley, bringing in guys like Sam Cassell and James Borrego, even if you can get somebody else that's a veteran assistant to fill out that staff, that's, I think, ideal for the Lakers. But I mean, if they bring in the guys that we're mentioning, that's one of the better staffs in all of basketball. So I think Laker fans should be really excited about this move, honestly.
Yeah, and it's such a great point, and I didn't even think about that point. Like, you cannot have a situation where J.J. Redick one day has a press conference to be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, or new head coach, and then he's calling game one of the NBA Finals in Boston. You're going to have Laker fans saying, Coach, what are you doing calling the finals on TV? You should be focused on next season. You have Celtics fans saying, what is this Lakers head coach doing calling our game? So, yes, again, you're going to be hearing a lot of reports, a lot of rumors. I would not expect an official announcement and a press conference until the finals are done. But we'll see how that all shapes out. Grant, you're the best. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be welcomed by Steve Karp for the Sporting Tribune. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground,
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Now let's welcome in from the Sporting Tribune, Steve Karp. Parpy, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. In the previous segment, we talked about the Lakers centering, and they've circled J.J. Redick to be their next head coach. This is interesting to me because J.J. Redick has never been a head coach before. Some within the organization have tried to make the comparison to Pat Riley. I don't agree with that comparison only because Pat was an assistant coach under Paul Westhead prior to becoming the head coach. J.J. has no prior head coaching experience. You've covered the game for quite some time. Again, you no doubt remember J.J. collegiately and in the pros. I mean, your thoughts on your first head coaching job going from the broadcast booth is to coach LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, I think Rob Pelinka could do better than J.J. Redick. Nothing against J.J. He's obviously a very bright individual. Yeah, you know, he went to Duke, so he's not a dummy.
Yes.
All right? He is possessive of a very high basketball IQ. That doesn't mean you become a great coach in the NBA. All right? You know, I look at Joe Mazzulla with what he's doing in Boston, okay? He might be the exception, but even he was an assistant coach.
There you go.
First. Yeah. See, that's a rush. You can't shortchange how important experience is at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, not to compare, but Becky Hammon, before she became a head coach in Vegas, she was an assistant coach with Greg Popovich in San Antonio.
Yep.
Now think of, you know, that's like getting your doctorate in basketball, right? I mean, where is J.J. Redick's coaching pedigree? There is none. Okay? He doesn't have a PhD in hoop, right?
Yeah.
So, but I know they've tried different guys, and none of them seem to have worked out great. I guess Frank Vogel, for a while there, was doing okay. You know, and maybe part of the problem is LeBron. Maybe he's just not coachable at this point of his life. Maybe he thinks he knows more than the coach. That's the sense I got with Darvin Ham. Did you?
I did. And here's the thing.
I always thought that Darvin Ham never got the benefit of any doubt.
No, I mean, listen, I mean, Darvin Ham got them. Yeah, I mean, really quick, Darvin Ham got them to the conference finals. He took over a team that did not make the postseason the year before. Got them to the conference finals. I think if they don't play Denver, which was really the worst matchup they could have, I think that they probably get to the conference finals this year. Again, they weren't a championship team, but he did not inherit a championship team. He got a team that missed the playoffs the year before. And to your point with Frank Vogel, Frank Vogel led them or was the head coach of a team that won the championship in 2020. They totally dismantled that team. Expected him to win with a completely different team that didn't really buy into his philosophy, and they fired him the next year. Again, we're talking about a coach 2 years removed from winning a championship. And so whether it's LeBron or whether it's Rob Pelinka or a combination of the two, I agree with you. I think that there's probably a lot of coaches out there who are seeing what happened to Darvin Ham and to Frank Vogel and saying, this isn't a job that I want.
Yeah, you know, I kind of liken it to whoever coaches Kevin Durant, who's an unbelievably talented player, Hall of Famer, et cetera, et cetera. But boy, he's got to be very tough to coach. You know, you remember what happened in Brooklyn? It just was a disaster. Okay, Golden State, you know, Steve Kerr had Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, he had like a buffer to protect him from Durant. And now you see what's going on in Phoenix, and, you know, it's a mess. And I just got the sense that the Lakers need to find a more steady hand, a more experienced hand to lead them through the rest of the LeBron James era. And also at the same time, they need to get a little younger and a lot better in most positions. So that one falls on Rob Pelinka.
You know, the coach
that does the coaching search ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the coach that they wanted in an ideal situation is the coach that they didn't hire 5 years ago when they actually hired Frank Vogel. It's Ty Lue. I mean, when you look at the job that Ty Lue has done with the Clippers, now Ty Lue today signs a long-term contract extension with the Clippers. Again, he's been dealt just a really bad hand in terms of health with the Clippers from the postseason. I mean, there's nothing you could do when your best player and the player that you've committed to being the face of your franchise is hurt. 4 consecutive years in the postseason. There's not a whole heck of a lot you could do. Your thoughts on Ty Lue? Again, I think this was a smart move by the Clippers as they move into a new arena, new training facility. And there would have been a line out the door led by LeBron James and the Lakers if they did part ways. But again, Ty Lue signs a contract extension with the Clippers today.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Stability needs to be the Clippers' watchword going forward.
Yeah.
And when you have your head guy locked in for the next 4 or 5 years, whatever it's going to be, what I would be thinking if I'm, you know, Lawrence Frank and the Clippers is I might want to reevaluate my medical staff.
Yeah.
To find out why the hell Kawhi Leonard can't stay healthy every year. I mean, it's almost like a given that he's going to miss substantial time. And I think that's a big problem for the Clippers trying to take that next step as an organization. I mean, they're going to move into their beautiful new arena, their practice facility, all that good stuff. And that's wonderful because the stain of Donald Sterling has not completely been wiped out yet. It's getting there, but it's still not complete. But they've got to find a way to keep Kawhi Leonard somehow on the court the majority of the time during the regular season, and certainly for the playoffs.
And Steve, I mean, I think a lot of fans, and again, you're 100% right. I mean, you cannot go through what that franchise went through with Donald Sterling and from, you know, 1980s to the 90s to the 2000s with Donald Sterling. I mean, that doesn't get wiped clean just because Steve Ballmer, you know, is like in charge now. And again, we have there's a new show going to debut on Hulu, Clipped, talking about the whole Donald Sterling taped fiasco where he was banished by the league, banned for life. And so like, if you weren't around for that, and it's crazy to think, I mean, I guess that was about 10 years ago. You know, you will be reminded of it with this new series. But you know what they struggle with, and it's the same thing that the Chargers struggle with, is that you become associated with failure and postseason failure, and they have a term for that amongst the Chargers. It's chargering it up or charger, you know, Clippers is, you know, Clippers gonna clip. You know, when you don't have success, and when I say that, you've never won a championship. In the case of the Chargers, they've only gone to the Super Bowl one time in their history. They got blown out by San Francisco. The Clippers have never gone to the NBA Finals, only one time to the Conference Finals, and that was in 2021. It's hard to change how people view you. Who do you think, just as a very, I just thought of this, I mean, who do you think is closer to changing their persona? I mean, is it the Chargers or the Clippers? Because I got to be honest with you, Steve, they both have the same feeling about them in Los Angeles, just a franchise that, as good as they may be on paper, like, as good as they may be during the regular season, they're never going to win the big prize. They're never going to win the whole thing.
You know, here part of their problem is they're considered the second team in their own cities.
Yeah.
In the Chargers' case, they might even be the third team because there seems to be more Raider fans still in Southern California than Chargers fans. I don't know if that's fair to say. You would know better than me.
You're right, Steve, by the way.
And you know, the return of the Rams has been great for the older NFL fans in L.A.
Yeah.
Younger fans don't remember when the Rams played at the Coliseum or at Anaheim. They don't. It's just a fact of life. So the Clippers, to me, have the faster track to change their culture than the Chargers do. You know, the Chargers have a new GM. They have a new coach in Jim Harbaugh. That's going to take a little time to get that thing straightened out.
Yeah.
Even though they have a really top line quarterback in Justin Herbert. The Clippers are already on their way. It's like you said, they can't keep their star players healthy enough to have that impact that they expect to have and that their fan base has been willing to be patient over because it beats the hell out of what they had years ago. So I would say the Clippers are in better shape than the Chargers.
Yeah.
But the Clippers still have a lot to prove and get over that hump of mediocrity and, you know, just laughability that has come with the franchise for decades.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think championships are the only currency that matter in Los Angeles. Vegas has kind of become a similar town, surprisingly, like I think in terms of, you know, they really demand success from their franchises and they've gotten it. You know, the Vegas Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup last year, going to the Stanley Cup final in year one, Las Vegas Aces winning back-to-back WNBA championships. So there's a similar thing happening there. Wanted to ask you, again, we were a Dallas Mavericks win last night from the focus being on the Stanley Cup playoffs around the country. And when I say that is, like, you know, during the postseason is when you can get a lot of casual fans. Hard to have that sometimes when you're going head-to-head. But the Celtics-Pacers series, that got done in a series sweep. Mavericks Wolves look like we were on the verge late in the fourth quarter of that being a sweep. The Timberwolves do come back and they extend it to five. Regardless, Steve, I think hockey will get center stage here. It'll be great because we have two great postseason series happening right now.
And most of the country has heard of Connor McDavid.
That's right.
So Edmonton is still worth the watch.
Yes.
Because he's arguably, you know, one of the top three players in the sport. Okay. I'm not sure that, you know, I mean, if the Mavericks eliminate Minnesota, you've got Luka and Kyrie Irving against the Celtics, which to me is very compelling, although I still think the Celtics are overall the better team. They just don't tend to prove it over 48 minutes every game.
Yeah.
They go through these weird stretches where they just shut it down. It's like they put their car in neutral and they try to coast down the hill. And then they say, oh, damn, we better get going here.
Yeah.
They put the car back and drive, step on the gas, and there you go. I mean, they've got a lot of things. But I'll tell you, the series in the hockey have been very compelling. I thought Florida showed a lot of grit beating the Rangers on Tuesday night. That's a hell of a series we got going on. And obviously the NHL is certainly hoping for New York, which is, you know, the biggest media market in the U.S. And again, you know, I think if they could choose, they would pick Dallas over Edmonton. Only because Dallas is such a big market in Texas and the Southwest that people would probably want to tune in, although they couldn't probably name one or two players on the Dallas Stars. But yeah, the hockey's been good. I mean, I'm a fan, so I watch every game anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't have as much interest. I'll be perfectly honest, Arash. I don't have as much interest in the NBA this year. There's just not enough of a compelling storyline for me to want to tune in so far.
Yeah, and listen, locally, and I know this is not what you're talking about, but just like locally, like there hasn't been the same buzz again. The Lakers get knocked out in the first round. Not a very compelling five-game series. It was almost like a five-game sweep. Clippers get booted in the first round to Dallas. Again, Kawhi once again, as I mentioned, fourth year in a row, he gets hurt in the first round. So there has not been the same kind of juice just in Los Angeles, Vegas, Hawaii. You know, if it is Dallas, Boston, to your point, there will be superstar power there in terms of Luka and Kyrie versus Tatum and Brown. So you'll have the stars. You'll have one of the more historically significant franchises. But, you know, it's not LeBron. It's not Steph. It's not KD. It's not the Lakers. It's just, you know, you don't have that same juice.
Clark.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, you know, she had her career best last night.
Yeah.
had a nice bounce back win, by the way.
No, it was great. So, and it was, it's fun to watch the league. Again, the WNBA, I watched that game, Cameron Brink. Again, it was a quick rematch again to this one happening on the Fever home court. But yeah, it's just, I mean, I think with those, with that postseason not being as compelling to your point, I think the focus shifts to hockey. It's just to the WNBA. You know, so we'll track that. Steve, wanted to get your thoughts here as well with Major League Baseball. We're kind of in the full swing here. The Oakland A's, a lot of talk about them. The Tropicana, again, it will be imploded, but if you drive past it now, they have already begun dismantling it, whether you talk about the parking lot, whether you talk about some of the other fixtures around the Tropicana. So if you make it down there, or if you're in Las Vegas, you know, the demolition process has begun. I think we will get that full sort of classic implosion at some point this fall or winter. Steve, your thoughts. Again, this is a story that you've been tracking for quite some time. We're kind of in a lull period here, but I think anytime the LVCVA talks, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt with Steve Hill. They basically is saying like it's a done deal, and we both know that that's probably not the case.
No, not even close. I mean, John Fisher is still looking to get his financing in place for his share of the $1.5 billion for the ballpark. So until that happens, I'm not convinced it's going to be done. They're still messing around with design and location within the footprint of the Trop. And yeah, they got time, I guess. You know, the 3 years in Sacramento bought them a little extra time, but it's still not done.
No.
And again, you know, it's a weird thing the way it's been going. He hasn't found the investors to put up the $500 million he's seeking. And you know, there's people with money who would love to own a baseball team, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not stepping up to the plate, you know, figuratively speaking. So, you know, I think I just continue to watch what's going on. And the more I watch, the less I'm convinced it's going to actually happen, because at some point, Major League Baseball has got to step in and say, hey, look, either you're doing this or you're not. And if you're not going to do it, then you need to divest yourself in this team and sell it to somebody who is willing to do, whether it's keep it in Oakland, move it to Vegas, move it to Salt Lake City, whatever.
Yeah. You know, regardless of what
it's an ownership issue. It's about Cavill and everybody there. I don't know if they know what they're doing.
No,
that's my sense of it.
Yeah,
I see you on the clock.
Yeah, no worry. Steve, I don't think anyone wants to do business with John Fisher. I don't think anyone wants to do business with this group. I do think that they would like to own a Major League Baseball team. I do think that Major League Baseball in Las Vegas could be successful. The fact of the matter is, the Oakland Athletics, led by John Fisher, is not the team that a lot of businesses want to be involved in. And it's a franchise. Again, John Fisher is the key here. It's not against Major League Baseball. It's with this guy in particular. And so it's unfortunate because the one thing, and we're going to have you back on to talk about this, because I think this is a really key point. Major League Baseball can succeed in Vegas. I don't know if John, not that I don't know. I know that John Fisher is not the guy to lead that to fruition. So, and again, the fans
I've written it before. I'll keep writing it until...
So, and we're going to have you, and we're going to have you back on to talk about that. That's all the time we have for today. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy. West side.
to live and die in LA. This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on a blind to a broken man's dream. A hard lesson. Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/brainstorm now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more brainstorming tools like private mode and voting. That's Miro.com/brainstorm now.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.